The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN, all accounted for. Brady's here, Rich is here, Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
I am handsome, baby. Look at that. I'm looking in the glass mirror-ish thing there, the reflection, and wow.
That would be a window.
Look at that. It's a reflection. Yeah.
You look so good right now.
That is unbelievable.
You are looking so good right now.
It's a miracle. Middle-aged women aren't flocking to this radio station.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Hey, I got to tell you something. Listen to this. Somebody was listening to our show yesterday, I believe it was. Yesterday or the day before. Remember when I was talking about how I went out to Venice shirtless, soaking up the rays and all that stuff?
Yeah, don't remind
us. I have two bosses. My two bosses' boss, pretty much, there's only one boss ahead of him, was listening, sent me a text saying, I hope you got this text while with your shirt on. And would like to speak to me, but that's the way he opened up the text out there. So he was definitely listening to us ramble about me not wearing a shirt. Listen to this. You're going to love this. Last night, my brother goes, "Hey, let's just go out real quick for a little snack. He's a little hungry." You know, we went to one of those Greek places. Okay, we get one of those appetizers. It's like a scoop of feta cheese, a scoop of hummus, a scoop of something else, and a scoop of something else. Nothing big. Nothing too earth-shattering,
that's
right?
That's pretty specific, yeah.
Yeah, nothing too crazy.
A sandwich.
Yeah, there you go. And it's just, you know, each of us get our own appetizer.
Yep.
The bill comes $28 a piece.
L.A.,
$56.
Baby.
Of course, I'm not taking out my wallet at all. I refuse to take out my wallet while I'm in L.A. So,
or a hummus sandwich.
$56?
And it takes an hour to get there, and it's only a mile away. I love L.A. Cue the Randy Newman.
Oh, and when it gets worse, we go to the store over. This is like pretty much Beverly Hills. We decide, we go get a scoop of ice cream. A scoop. I knew there was a problem when the guy goes to me, "Would you like a half scoop or a full scoop?"
Half a scoop.
What
the hell's a half a scoop?
I go, wow, they must be pretty big scoops. You know what I'm saying? sometimes you buy clothes and like a large shirt really is more like a medium or something. I don't know. I go, okay, you know what? I'll go for the full scoop. A full scoop, I mean, I finished it off maybe in 30 seconds.
Yeah. It's like a ping pong ball.
Yeah, well, if it was that big. And my brother gets one, $11. That's $5.50 a scoop. I'm wondering, I was thinking about this. What is the most you've overpaid for an item or a service that you've just been ripped off, but you really had no choice? Or, Rich, you got ripped off when you went on vacation and you had to park down at the down in Boston, but it wasn't that bad for you. You didn't park in the airport.
No, it was just having to switch flights added about $250 to the flight from Boston to San Francisco, but at least I got out there.
That wasn't that bad. Yeah.
The most ripped off, it's an easy answer. Any sporting event or any concert, that's the answer.
No, you can't. What would you be like, just paying like top price for a ticket?
Just paying, just massive overpay on the secondary market.
I'll go with Cactus League alcohol sales. It's about $11 a beer.
How is that possible?
They're big. They're big, like 20-ounce cans.
You could get a hot dog at Yankee Stadium for like $8. That's pretty bad.
That's insane.
And it's like not even a foot-long hot dog.
I went to the farmer's market out here. They give you 1 hour free, and then it's like $4 every 15 minutes from there on. I get a martini here. I'm like,
do you go scrambling through like the Beverly Hills Recycling Center? I mean, that place, people must just throw away brand new TVs after one watch.
I'm just wondering, and if you want to text it on the Tom Ferry Tire text line, 802-655-6672, what's the most you've overpaid for something? I saw somebody pay. They were actually, you walk into the local, it's not a 7-Eleven. It's an upscale market in Beverly Hills. $5.60 for a bottle of water?
Oh,
I'd rather drink from the dog bowl before I go and pay $5.60 for a bottle of water.
Well, it's funny. It must have been a hot day because it's amazing. It's a supply and demand situation where every time the temperature hits about 90, the price doubles for a bottle of water.
Not in Beverly Hills. Everything's expensive in Beverly Hills.
I got totally gypped the other last 2 weekends ago, Arnie. I tried to go. So I went to Plattsburgh to see Oswego and Plattsburgh play baseball. And I was like, I need gas, but I'm going to wait until over the lake. It's usually cheaper in Plattsburgh. 10 cents more a gallon. So I got totally, totally ripped off there. What is New York doing?
What's the gas in Burlington? How much is gas in Burlington?
I went to the Cumbies today, which is always one of the lowest. It was $2.89. Yeah. That's high.
It's extremely high.
Yeah.
Oh, same thing here. Oh, wait a minute. Not $2.89, $3.89 here. Same thing, though, right? What's the big deal?
I noticed when I went to Tahoe a couple of months ago, it was, I looked at it and I said, $2.89. Oh, it is. It's $3.89.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's insane. I went to the local pharmacy. Everything's like double the price. It's crazy. I don't know if people afford to live here.
The other thing, we all know that another answer to this where you get ripped off. If you buy anything in the airport once you've crossed into the terminal, you're going to be paying massive. And if you get anything at a rest stop, you're going to be paying massive.
And how about?
I just thought the $11 for the ice cream was too much.
And here's one I always laugh at because people still do it. The sodas, the 16-ounce soda for $1.99. Right?
Yeah.
You've seen my 2-liter bottles down there of Mountain Dew. $1.50. 2-liter bottle is $1.50, but a 20-ounce bottle of soda is $1.99.
That I've cut soda out of my diet during the week. That's part of my effort to be healthier. I have said no soda during the week. I now only have soda on the weekends or with alcoholic beverages. So,
by the way, Chris in Essex said $3.50 for a bottle of Cristal. How much does that cost, guys? You're the high price guy.
I'm not the high price guy. I don't know how much Cristal usually costs, but it sounds like it's expensive, like Patron and others.
Wow, Brian paid $10,000 for an engagement ring. Mostly.
No.
Yeah. Well, it says SWX. So I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah. I know what that means.
No, I do too.
Buying Chew at the Mohegan Sun Casino, $20, that's wild.
Now, see, but that's, well, not that I'm condoning tobacco product use, but tobacco products are cheaper at the casinos usually,
Really? Wow.
Yeah, because there's no tax on them.
Really? See, I didn't think of it like that.
If you were going to buy your tobacco, you've got to do so in other states where there's no tax, like Pennsylvania. Tobacco is extremely cheap. I bought a tin of Redman. Now I don't chew tobacco. I'm just into nostalgia and I'm into decorative pieces. So I bought a tin of Redman in Pennsylvania with no intention of ever using it, Arnie. 99 cents.
That's dirt cheap.
Yes, well, if you got a tin of anything in tobacco, it's usually like between $5.99 and $7.99, depending on the brand. A tin of Redman. I'd never even seen Redman in a tin.
Wow.
And it was 99 cents.
That's crazy. That's insane. It's like I can't take my wallet out and buy anything. I got to either go with my brother somewhere and make him pay for me, or I got to take my mom's American Express and just run hers up. So I can't afford to live here. It's horrible.
Arnie, I got to tell you something funny, too, real quick, and Rich is rolling his eyes at me.
Yeah.
I had two very, very interesting Twitter conversations today.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
With famous people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I want to hear.
So the Mariners last night inexplicably blew a game, okay?
Right.
They had 16 – James Paxton, their starter, had 16 strikeouts. And ended up getting a no decision. They took him out, and then the bullpen blew it. So Kevin Burkhart, who you know, he does Fox, does NFL Sunday games, and he does MLB on Fox.
Right.
He put out a question: why did the Mariners take Paxton out? And I responded to him, and we got going back and forth a little bit on Twitter.
Nice.
It's going to end up with Kevin Burkhart coming on our show at some point.
Nice. So, very nice about that. I've had him on before. Very nice guy.
And then I posted something about Rich. You'll appreciate this. I posted something about Dustin Pedroia on my Twitter account because I talked about him on CVGN yesterday. And Mike Cameron, the old the old Gold Glover, also played with the Mariners. All-star.
White Sox and Mets, too.
White Sox, Mets, Padres, Mariners, Red Sox, Marlins, Nationals, Brewers. He played with a lot of places.
Just list who he didn't play for.
Yeah, so, he starts coming back and forth with me about Pedroia and the positive impact he'll have on the Red Sox. So I got to talk with Kevin Burkhardt and Mike Cameron today on Twitter.
That's what I love about Twitter. I mean, where can you do something like this? I mean, it's insane. And then sometimes you'll bring up a topic and like two or three other famous people will fight over what you said.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And for some reason, I'm in with Jimmy Kimmel. Are you guys? I have no idea why Jimmy Kimmel. Everything he tweets, I get.
That means you follow him.
Okay. I didn't know why it was happening.
But no, not only that. I'm not talking about just see. I'm talking about Mike Cameron interacting with me personally.
Yeah. No, I understand. It's a back and forth.
So the reason why Mike Cameron follows me is because his son was at one point an Astros farmhand, and he played in Tri-City. So when I covered the Valley Cats for my old station, I interviewed Daz Cameron. And so Mike Cameron started following me on Twitter. And then Daz Cameron, like eight games into the season, broke his hand or something, was out for the rest of the year. But nonetheless, that Twitter relationship has stayed.
There you go. I love that, man. That's happened to you before, has it not?
A couple of times where Mike Cameron and I have engaged. I got to get him on the show. That's the next bit of business. Try to get Mike Cameron on.
Well, once he finds out who it is, and he finds out is there any way, does he know you're a talk show host?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he knows because he can see my profile.
Right. Okay.
And he knows that I interviewed his son before and played it back on my old show and my previous employer.
Yeah, see, that once you hit family members, I mean, as far as, you know, that's good. That's a good thing. Once you make that family connection, especially sons and daughters, that's how you get them on the show.
All right, lots going on. We got a lot to get to. Busy show. Brady, tell me what's coming up the rest of the week, and what do we got going on for today?
Well, remember, the mistake of the day is always up for grabs, 802-655-6672. If you want that 101.3 ESPN baseball cap, it is exclusive, and it's thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. As for what's coming up today, we'll get you ready for Celtics and Sixers. Big deal, little deal, no deal, 435. A prominent Giants player backtracks on something he said. Some notes on Hanley Ramirez. But first, Rich, you cannot be happy about this. The Bruins, they lose at home, and they're now trailing in the series.
And it just felt like they didn't even show up. I mean, it was so strange. I mean, the pressure was on them. They're the home team. They need to set the pace, and there was just nothing. And Plott comes out and immediately gets those two goals, you know, one of them on the Grizzly turnover, and the other one, that was a tricky one. But people weren't in the right place for that second goal. It sort of pinballed in past Tukaresk. And how many times this year have they gotten down 2-0, including playoff games, I think? But it seems like way too often they get down, but most of the time they seem to come back and win the game like 5-4 or something. But did you ever get the feeling last night after those first two goals early that they were going to come back in this game?
It's among the biggest cliches in sports, and I say it in any basketball game and any hockey game. The first 5 minutes of the first period or the first half, if we're talking about college hoops, that's going to dictate how the rest of the game goes. And when you get up 2-0 in the first 4 minutes of the game, you're set up pretty well. And that's what we talk about keys to the game. The keys to the game is the first 4 minutes. Right. That's where the game was lost.
And nothing says a team is standing around defensively more than 19 shots on goal from the road team in the first period. And Tampa came out with their hair on fire, and it showed.
Oh, a couple of things. Remember, I asked you guys yesterday, how did you want the Bruins to come out? Did you want them to send the message, hit them tough, and say, hey, it's going to be a physical game? Or did you want to get some early shots on goal so they could be back on their heels a little bit? Because the last thing you need was for them to bombard Tuukka Rask with like 10-0 in shots on goal. And Tuukka saved them last time. He didn't save them this time. I saw it was 2-0. I'm like, is this basketball? Did they spot him 2-0? But is this just, did they say, it's 2-0 and we'll play from here on out? I'm like, what the hell's going on here? I thought it was a mistake for a second there, Brady.
Arnie, it continues to be the turnovers and the sloppy play. I mean, I understand that the Greslick turnover is a bouncing puck that takes a bad hop on him. I get that, but it's still a turnover. You had another goal in the third period where Kevin Miller has the turnover, and then somehow David Backes, The shot gets fired, and Backus leaves, and the rebound ends up right on the stick of a Sorelli, and he scores and gets it to 3-1 at that point, and that really doomed the game from that point on. So sloppy play again.
And that Sorelli goal was a real backbreaker. I mean, you can look at the first few minutes and see the Palat goals to make it 2-0 for sure. That set the tone for the whole game. They were never able to dig out of that hole. But that third goal, right after Bergeron got it to 2-1, you're thinking, okay, here we go. Typical Bruins, down two goals. Then Bergeron scores. They're, like I was just saying, they're going to win this thing 5-4. And then Sorelli, I'm like, who the hell is Anthony Sorelli? Yeah. I've never even heard of him. And yeah, he gets his first playoff goal.
You said it, though. You could only come from behind so many times being down 2-0. Eventually, good teams will stop you. And Tampa Bay was more than a good team. So, I mean, eventually that was going to catch up to him. You can't keep doing that over and over again. And this one caught up to him. That, they're one game away from elimination, as far as I'm concerned. You can't get down 3-1 and expect to go back and win three straight. I don't think it's going to happen.
And you can't lose at home again. Rich, are you putting any of yesterday on Tuukka? Because you said going into the game that, well, we need the good Tuukka to show up. Yeah. I'm not putting it on him yesterday.
No, especially that second goal. Like I said, that was a pinball.
I mean, it's a
thing,
double deflection.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. How do you stop that? I mean, you just have to. The only way you stop double deflections is if the puck just happens to hit you somewhere.
Yeah. Double.
you take up as much of the space in front of the net as you can and hope it just hits you.
Double deflection there. You get the turnover from Grizzlick. Yep. He had a great save. He had a one-on-one, I guess, since we're not allowed to call it one-on-zero, but one-on-goalie with Kucherov in the third period, which he made a great save. I think it was shoulder high on that save. So, he wasn't the reason they lost yesterday, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I agree. It just, they came out flat. How do you explain coming out flat with that crowd just absolutely rocking at the Garden last night? A 1-1 series, a game you have to win, and nothing. Now all the pressure in the world shifts to Boston.
Especially after they just took the last game, and they bombarded you to start the game. It wasn't like, okay, let's see how the game goes. Let's see what the pace of play is and how it, feel things out. You saw what they did to your last game. They came right after you. They went right for the jugular. Like I said, Tuukka saved you. I'm not blaming Tuukka either, though. He was, what do you have, like 33 saves or something like that? I'm not going to blame him. There was just no offense. There was just nothing that got him going. I don't know how you come out flat. I don't have an answer for that one, Rich.
Well, real quick, and Rich, before you get in, it sounds like the team doesn't have an answer either, because here was Patrice Bergeron after the game.
Just being on our toes and respecting the game plan and playing the right way. I think it's in here, and we know what to do, and we're going to look at the video, and it's always like that in the playoffs. You know, you always kind of learn from what just happened and also put the rest behind you and look forward and be better, and that's all we have to do.
Hockey guys always say, we'll learn from it. It's like, damn, why didn't you learn from it during the game?
Well, that's like Ben McAdoo with the Giants. We're going to review the film. We got to review the tape. Got to look at the tape. Got to look at the tape.
Heinsohn says on every single play, let's go to the replay.
And by the way, Heinsohn the other day, this was in game 6, I think, against the Bucks. He was like, how is that not a foul?
He was insufferable in that Bucks series.
He's like the biggest cheerleader ever.
Yeah. Just, it's insane. Quite literally.
No, he is.
He's the homer among homers, no doubt. And the refs are never right. Yeah. I especially like it. I know this is a totally different topic before the break, but I especially like it when he says, all right, let's take a look at this one again. And the replay shows that his anger was completely wrong. And he just shuts up.
Or he's like, well, the replay could be doctored. No, I'm just kidding about that. All right, when we get back, we got some Yankee news to get to. We'll start looking ahead to the Celtics. Lots of stuff going on right here in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball. Ah! Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. A beautiful Thursday out here in Southern California. Really? How's it back there in Burlington, guys?
It's not beautiful.
Rainy.
What?
Humid. It's rainy
just
and humid.
Warm up here. Yeah.
Well, it does. It feels like summer. The rain smells like July, doesn't it?
Here it's like 75 and sunny. Yeah, whatever. Going to go up to 85, so... Yeah, it's kind of sunburning me. So
are you are you playing any basketball?
Yep, after the show, going out and play a little basketball.
I thought you were
a little exercise.
I thought you were there to see your mother.
I see her twice a day. I got to get some exercise in. So, I gotta do something. So I gotta get myself a little physical activity. But what's going on with the Yankees? What a performance last night, huh? Oh.
I know that. And look, the Yankees are playing right now, aren't they? Rich, they playing an early game.
They're
right
up 3-2 right now.
Yeah, they're playing. Yeah, 3-2. Bases loaded though for Houston with nobody out in the bottom of the seventh.
So I know they're playing right now and it's a good game. But I have to go back to last night because what Luis Severino did yesterday. If you're a Yankee fan, number one, you have to be just spinning at how good the whole rotation has been. But Severino is emerging as a not only a frontline starter, but as a top 10 starter in the game potentially. I mean, complete game yesterday, 5 hits, 10 strikeouts, a shutout. You don't see complete game shutouts anymore because of pitch counts. You talk about what a performance.
And you never see it these days at Houston against the home team.
No.
I mean, think about that lineup.
That Houston lineup is so deep. So what he did, you consider the caliber of opponent, you consider the size of the ballpark, considering left field, a pop fly from a little leaguer goes out of that place.
Yep.
And then you throw in the fact that he did get through 9 innings, and he did it with 110 pitches. So you talk about, I mean, how are you that efficient? You have 10 strikeouts, and you still only throw 110 pitches? Right. That's absolutely impressive.
You walk
one. Let me ask you guys something. You know, I love to boast when I'm right all the time, but what's better than when I'm right is when you guys are wrong. Why do you think you guys were so wrong coming in about the Yankees pitching staff? Because a lot of people said that the Yankees pitching staff was going to be, what, like a B- or average or something like that? Nobody thought they'd be this good.
Yeah, and I think we said pass Severino. I think we were willing to give Severino the ace role. I think that's pretty obvious, and he has certainly deserved that with a 2.11 ERA and what is he? I think he's 5-1 already. But I remember talking to Buster about this too. He's always talking about Tanaka's elbow ready to fall apart, and what do you say about CC Sabathia? I mean, is he the next Bartolo Colon? Just go till he's 100.
Arnie, I'm not ready to still relent on that.
No,
pitching staff for the Yankees. Sonny Gray has been extremely, it's not even up and down. He's been just largely down, although with a bit of a trend upward in his last start. He has struggled. Tanaka, he's still very hittable. Sabathia has been good, although with the way he pitches now, I expected him to be good. Now, maybe not this good, an ERA under 2. And then now Jordan Montgomery's out for 6 weeks with an injury, so now you lose a part of that rotation we already had questions about. That's where the questions are. Is really where is the depth? Because in the course of 162 games, you're going to lose somebody. Now they've lost Jordan Montgomery. Who fills in for him? What happens if Tanaka ends up on the DL as he has in multiple seasons? What happened if Sonny Gray ends up on the DL as he has in multiple seasons? That depth is not what other teams have.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'd love to have what they did against the Astros so far. I mean, they've just been blitzing them. Even today, it's only 2 runs. But that's not easy to do, is shut the Astros down. I mean, if it was any other loser team out there and say, hey, it was Baltimore or something like that. I mean, they're like you said, they're shutting down the Houston Astros. That's big time. Yeah,
especially at Minute Maid Park. I mean, they had back-to-back 4-0 shutouts, and Astros scored 2. Granted, they just scored again, so it's 3-3 as we speak. But, I mean, really, up until today, they've completely shut them down, and still, even in the seventh today, they've only given up a 3 spot.
I mean, going into today's game, the Yankees held the Astros scoreless for 22 straight innings. So that's not only just the starting rotation, that's that bullpen, too. And kudos to Dellin Betances, who seems to have figured it out over the last 2 weeks, because at one point, he had an ERA of almost 8 for the first week and a half of the season, and I was hard on him starting in August of last year. I didn't say he was done as a one-inning reliever, but I didn't know that he was going to be all-star caliber again for a while. He's figured it out over the last 2 weeks, so good for him.
And Giancarlo Stanton, I mean, everything about that game last night is exactly what how the Yankees drew it up. You get their ace of the staff throwing a complete game, 5-hit shutout against the best team in the American League, the defending world champions. And then you get Stanton. I mean, he's got it up to 240 now, and that doesn't sound like much, but it's starting to head in the right direction.
And Brady, correct me if I'm wrong. The Yankees they don't have a high payroll, or at least as high as usual. So they're picking up a pitcher is like not a if, it's a definite, right? And probably sooner than later. You could see them making a trade or getting a big-time pitcher to solidify that staff, do you not?
Well, the Yankees could go out and get a pitcher. However, remember, they signed Neil Walker right before the season started, and that they had about a $10 million window that they were under the luxury tax by. They went out and signed Neil Walker. So their payroll is not as high as the Red Sox, but they also don't want to go over that luxury tax threshold. What they want to do and what they've done is they've positioned themselves brilliantly going into next offseason to go out and get any number of big-name players. Josh Donaldson's available in the offseason. Manny Machado's available. And Bryce Harper. They're in play for one of those three guys.
More likely Bryce Harper.
Yes.
Or Machado. Yeah, more likely Bryce Harper. That's the way I'm going. That's for damn sure.
That's just what they need, another powerful hitter. Woo-hoo!
Let's not forget about the Celtics, though. Let's not bury the lead here, my friends. Monster game coming up and a chance to kind of put the Philadelphia behind the eight ball, if not at least win this thing, because when you're down 2-0, it's over, you know?
Yeah, you talk about the Celtics. Well, look, if the Celtics win tonight, the basketball power index of the ESPN has them at 77% chance favorites to win the series. So that's not nothing. If they lose tonight, it's all the way down to 43%. So if this goes 1-1, then the power index thinks the Sixers win the series. If it goes 2-0, it's almost a foregone conclusion the Celtics win the series. So this is a big game.
I think the key is going to be, I mean, you know what Embiid's going to do. He's going to have his 30 and 15, most likely. I think it's just going to come down to hitting shots. I mean, they really, you look at the score, you see 117-101. But they had some great looks in that game. It just could not make any shots, especially Ben Simmons. I mean, you got to have him keep driving because those shots are going to eventually drop. And they just need to shoot better. And they need to shoot much better from beyond the arc.
Well, 5 of 26 from three, Arnie.
Oh, it was the worst shooting performance from three-point range I ever saw. I can't wait to see what the national media is going to say about Philadelphia if they lose this start off 0-2. I mean, they're going to come raining down on that team. Oh, my goodness, you're overrated. You know, all this, you know, you're doing this, that, and the other, and trust the process, which is why I'm thoroughly enjoying Philadelphia not only losing but getting thrashed here. So I can't wait to see them lose another one. But that's exactly what's going to go on. The media is going to be all over them because they think they're the new hot thing. And if, you know what? People have been jumping on the Philadelphia bandwagon like it's crazy. I mean, it's like, hey, let me jump on and all this. I can't wait for them to go down another game.
Well, I think Philly comes back and wins this game. I mean, I have to say, well, the only reason I'm saying that, Arnie, is because I predicted Philly in six. So, you know, at some point they got to start winning games. I'm going to go with them winning tonight and taking at least one, if not both, games in Philadelphia. I just think they had too many good looks. They're so creative offensively, and Simmons can't possibly be missing. Plus, he's got to cut down on the 7 turnovers. That's way too high for him.
Much like we saw with the Bruins yesterday, the Celtics need to not get down early because this Sixers team, one, because of their youth, will thrive on confidence that they get early. If they get up 20-9 right off the bat, then it could be off to the races and the Celtics could get boat raced out of there. But if the Celtics are hovering around, and they're close, the second half has been the Celtics all playoffs long. I mean, what is this stat? The Celtics are outscoring opponents by 32 points in the second half and overtime. They are dominating in the second half, and that's probably because of the adjustments being able to be made by Brad Stevens. So if they keep it close in the first half, then I got to trust they're going to win the second half.
I was going to say, and get your hand on the dump button, Brady, in case I'm not allowed to say this. And anybody gets offended, they could get by Cleveland also. I know we're not supposed to look ahead. I don't know if I'm offending anybody. They get by Philadelphia. They could beat Cleveland. They could be going to the NBA Finals with like without their two best guys. That's insane. I can't wrap that around my peanut brain that they can go to the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That is getting way ahead of yourself.
I knew it. Hit the dump button.
Talk to me next year about the Celtics in the finals, and definitely the year after that.
What do you think?
Possible. Wait, don't shrug that off. Once they get by Philadelphia, they get by Cleveland. Yeah.
Oh no, I'm not saying it won't happen, but I almost feel like it's a sure thing next year if everybody comes back healthy. Think about that lineup,
Arnie. I'm amazed at you. You have said over and over again that sports needs dynasties, sports needs super teams, sports needs powerhouses. You like Alabama football. You like all this stuff. And then now you're bagging on Philadelphia because of the process it takes to get to be that kind of dynasty. Why?
Oh, because I think the fans got ripped off for 4 or 5 years. I think, you know, they paid hard-earned money to see a good product, and you got them rolling out garbage, saying we want to lose, we want to get better picks. And you had no idea where you're going to fall, first, second, third. What, I don't even know what the odds were, but it was far from 100%. Yeah. I mean, even if you're going to get the number one pick, isn't it the best, like at 60 or 65% or something like that? Yeah. You can't purposely lose for 4 or 5 years and not have it. You know, and not feel like you're taking money from the fans, and it's just disgusting. I hope. I mean, could you imagine they're doing it in baseball? I know you're not happy with it in baseball, are you, Brady?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying you're bagging on this team for finally getting good when you like the idea of teams that are built to sustain success. So I don't understand that.
Well, Golden State, they didn't tank at all.
They were just horrible here. Naturally.
Yeah. Well, they were horrible naturally, but always. They didn't do it on purpose. They didn't say, let's get bad so we can have the number one pick. They said, let's get better by doing the draft better. You know how many people passed on Steph Curry? Give him credit for taking Klay Thompson. Give him credit for taking Draymond Green in the second round. And give him credit for able to get Kevin Durant from OKC. Not, stinking up on purpose for a bunch of years.
Well, think about Philadelphia, too. You're just getting back to that team. They may all be crazy, and most of them are, and proudly crazy, I may add, but they're not stupid. And you were talking about them tanking the process, which Stephen A. Smith so much loves. Not.
Yeah.
But the fact that they kept putting, 17,000-18,000 people in that arena, and they'd go 14-58 or whatever every year was amazing. And it's a tribute to that sports city. I mean, that is a basketball crazy sports city, especially college, but the Sixers too.
And Arnie, we didn't even talk about this. Does this team need Jaylen Brown to win tonight? Does Jaylen Brown need to play for the Celtics to win tonight?
Do I have to go without him? I mean, do I have to make that decision? I mean, hopefully I won't have to. Yes, I think they do need him. Do they need him to win? No, they don't need him to win. Obviously, it's a hell of a lot easier. I think they can win without him, but it's going to be, so much tougher.
Yeah.
This guy brings so much to the game. No, you could win without him, but now you're trying to win without three of your top guys. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, that's a tough question because you'll just find out because the only thing you have to go by is game one, where he didn't play a second of that game, didn't even dress, and they did win by 16 points. But you would think eventually, that's going to come back to haunt. Of course, we've been saying that about the Celtics team as all their stars drop like flies, but they just keep hanging in there.
Because of the energy I think Philly comes out with today, I think the Celtics do need Jaylen Brown to win. But that said, I would not force Jaylen Brown back early. If he's not 100%, I would not play him. You got a game that no one expected you to get. You have a game in hand right now. You don't need to force the issue.
You need to be very careful with hammies. I think we all know that.
It took me a year to get better from mine. Remember?
A year?
Yeah, a whole year.
Oh, so that was the problem.
Yeah, that was the problem. All right, coming up next, we got to get the big deal, little deal, or no deal. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to the huddle. It's time for our newest feature.
Maybe this one will sweep the nation also.
It's time for Big Deal.
Rich, you guys are missing the point. This is a huge deal.
Little deal.
Oh, please, Arnie. This is nothing.
Or no deal.
You guys are both wrong. It's in the middle. How am I even still listening to you?
On 101.3 ESPN.
Good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. At least a beautiful day out here in Southern California. Not as beautiful back in Burlington, guys. Sorry about that.
Really? I didn't know that. You had only told us that four times.
Wow. I want to be a Sean Parker wannabe. You know that. Always wanted to do a little weather.
I want to be a wannabe.
I want to be a wannabe. Let's get the big deal. Little deal or no deal. Oh, he was right on.
Absolutely. Even in another time zone.
3,000 miles away and three time zones away, he's still on it.
Question one, the Yankees and Red Sox will officially play next year in London on June 29th and 30th. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
What's less than no deal? Less than no deal. Am I supposed to be excited about this? I really could care less. Even if I was a Yankee fan or a Red Sox fan, makes no difference to me. that they're going to go ahead and play in London. I hope there's at least a good crowd out there, and congratulations for trying to, you know, expand baseball out a little bit. But for Red Sox fans or Yankee fans, it's no deal at all, no big deal. The players get extra money. I know that. They'll get some dough for playing over there, but otherwise it's really no deal to the fans, none whatsoever.
I call it a big deal, Arnie, and the reason is Red Sox-Yankees. I think it's a very big deal. I mean, you are – is it Wembley Stadium, I assume?
Olympic Stadium.
Oh, okay. So a huge sold-out place. And look, are they looking to send a team to London? I'm not thinking along those ways. But anytime you could send the Yankees and Red Sox to Mozambique, and just because it's those teams, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and Arnie, you said also the players get more money out of it, $60,000 for participating in the two-game series. I think that's worth it to players alone, so that's a big deal. It's big for baseball. We talked about this yesterday with the Bruins playing in China, an exhibition game. I don't know that London needs baseball, but it's a big deal when you put Yankees, Red Sox anywhere. I think they will sell it out for two games in terms of what impact baseball has in London. I don't know that I even care.
You know what would be really cool if they played cricket instead with the baseball players.
I would like
that. Now that would be interesting.
When was the last time something in American sport was overseas somewhere or anywhere out of the United States and it was a humongous deal? And I could only have only one thing comes to mind.
Yes.
No guesses? No guesses? Nothing?
Oh, I didn't know where you were
trying to think. Well, let's see. Football in Mexico City, football. Baseball
really
in Australia, baseball in China, or baseball in Japan.
Nothing there. Nothing there. Rich, you're the older guy, so I'll give you a hint. It's not one of the mainstream sports now.
Now it isn't?
How about the Thriller in Manila?
Oh, yes. Yeah or
Fraser Ali fight.
Zaire, too. Didn't Muhammad Ali fight somebody in Zaire?
I mean, those are the only ones I ever know that are, I don't know, but those are the ones ever big outside U.S.
You're right, good call.
Was boxing.
Yep.
I mean, humongous, to be honest with you.
Question two, Ichiro was hanging him up for this year, transitioning from the Mariners' playing surface to the front office at age 44. He's not officially retired, but he will not be allowed to play this year. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Oh, you know, it's a big deal because I actually like Ichiro. I didn't like him when he first came into the league. I'm like, who's this guy that thinks he's going to dominate us? What are you kidding me? But he's been nothing but a class act. All right, so there you go. Huge deal. So there you go, Brady.
Big deal, especially if you live in the low-lying areas in Saranac Lake.
I'll say it's a big deal, too. Yes, I'm a Mariners fan, but this is a guy 44 years old, tied for the oldest player in baseball with Bartolo Colon, a guy who made the All-Star game 10 times or something like that, a guy who's got more than 4,000 professional hits, him walking away from baseball. Yeah, it's a big deal.
By the way, you skipped me.
I don't care. Yeah, I wanted to go next.
Well, that's because it's a Mariners question.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, and you're the boss. Oh, I think it's a big deal. It's Ichiro. I mean, look at – if you don't think Ichiro stepping away from the game is a big deal and you're saying officially he isn't, but just look at his numbers sometime.
The only thing I think that could happen that would – the Mariners open up the season in Japan next year in Tokyo.
Yep.
I wonder if they put him on the roster for those two games and he says goodbye from baseball there.
Yeah. That'd be awesome, huh?
So that's what people are saying is a possibility as to why he's not officially retired. I wouldn't be shocked if the Mariners do that as a good faith gesture for him.
That'd be nice.
Question three, big deal, little deal, no deal. The Eli Manning jersey case is going to trial. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Refresh my memory. Yeah. What the hell's going on here? What's happening here, Brady?
They thought that Eli Manning was selling jerseys as game-worn jerseys when they weren't.
But I thought it was also, okay, so it's just the jerseys. It wasn't anything else. It was just.
I think there might have been a helmet.
That's what I thought it was, too, a helmet. Okay, so, and is this by Steiner Sports? Is that who it is by? Do you know? Is that who was distributing it, Brady?
I don't know.
The only reason I asked that is because I know that guy. I've asked him for sports memorabilia for four to give out on the radio and stuff. He's always been accommodating. But I can't believe something like this is going to go to trial. Who the hell are Eli Manning's attorneys that thought that maybe this was a good idea and said, yeah, let's take it to trial and fight it? Look, unless Eli Manning did something wrong, and obviously they want him to admit it, if he feels like he's completely innocent, go to trial and fight it. That's That's what you do, I guess. But, man, I can't believe it's got this far.
And isn't Eli Manning, he probably didn't have any idea about the innards of all of the dealings here. He probably just signed a shirt and a helmet and moved on. He doesn't know what – he doesn't know about – I just don't feel like he's a guilty party in this, even though I guess you have to point him out.
I have no idea. It's a big deal, though, because he can get suspended from the NFL. No matter what happens in the court case, if the NFL decides there's foul play here, possibly, he can be in violation of the personal conduct policy, and he can be suspended. And so it's a big deal.
And Davis Webb takes over and throws for 600 yards, and a Hall of Fame career begins.
Or Kyle LaLetta out of Richmond.
That's right.
Question four, Arnie, the New York Times story that came out yesterday on the scenario of the Washington Redskins cheerleaders. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
It's a humongous deal. I mean, how ridiculous, how degrading is this? You know, this is something you make owners like this sell the team when you hear garbage like this. And this is not the first time they've done this. They've done this cruise before. Did you hear that the radio station that's owned by Snyder and also obviously carries the Redskins, they're on there. You know, you could win a prize of having five cheerleaders come wash your truck. And they do it in, like, you know, one of those seductive voices. The whole thing's gotten out of hand. You don't do that in 2018. You should never have done that. But this is disgusting. And I can't believe that the NFL has not stepped in and waved a bigger stick and said, hey, you better clean up your act. Which, by the way, I was going to use this for clean up your act, but you should clean up your act because this is downright disgusting.
You think it has anything to do with Daniel Snyder being involved in any sort of way? Do you think they're afraid of him to a point? Like a Jerry Jones, although they proved they're not afraid of Jerry Jones last year with a massive fine.
Yeah, exactly. No, they're not afraid of him.
It's a big deal, Arnie, and you're right. It's disgusting. At a time in the league where, you know, issues around treatment of women and domestic violence are one of the biggest issues facing the league right now, and at a time where you're trying to get moms of kids to let their children play football, your relationship with women is incredibly important, and the NFL is doing nothing to help that. It is absolutely disgusting. You're right, degrading was a good word. You know, props to the women who spoke about this, but it's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, and a lot, according to the story, a lot of the girls didn't even want to go. And I mean, you think about that, sending cheerleaders out with strange men. Some of the girls don't even want to go. It's Costa Rica. You know, a lot of people relaxing around on the beach, and
and
I thought that's a good idea.
Also, just the treatment of cheerleaders in general prior to even this, you talk about they've got to buy their own equipment for things. They don't, so they're footing the bill for a lot of their stuff. They're treated like second class citizens, but yet they're supposed to represent the organization in a first class way. It's embarrassing.
And they were not paid for that trip to Costa Rica.
No.
And they don't get paid for a number of their appearances.
No.
And it's absolutely embarrassing. Moving on, question five. Julius Erving says Jason Tatum should have been the number one pick in the draft, not Markelle Fultz. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Oh, he could say that now, right? I don't know anybody that would say Tatum should be the number one pick. It was all Markelle Fultz and Lonzo. Was it Lonzo, this, that, the other? Now, of course, hindsight's 20/20, and we didn't know Markelle Fultz was this banged up. But no, nobody was saying that. Shut up, doctor. You don't know what the heck you're talking about.
Wow.
No way that Tatum should have been the number one pick. Now you can see it, but not when the draft was going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, Fultz was I remember he was the consensus number one pick for the most part across the board. I didn't hear a lot of Jason Tatum's at number one, but I don't know. I think I'll go with little deal. It's a medium deal to me just because Dr. J's talking about the Philadelphia 76ers as the more famous 76er in the history of the franchise.
I'll go with little deal as well. It's all about fit. It's all about what your team needs. The Sixers needed a guard. That made sense for them. The Celtics, I could have justified them taking Fultz, but they needed some size and some perimeter scoring because at the time they had a ball-dominant guard in Isaiah Thomas who thought was going to get re-signed and be here for a while. So I'll say it's a little deal. It just worked out. Everybody ended up where they should have and where they were needed.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. Big deal, little deal, or no deal. We'll come back. We'll finish out the hour with Clean Up Your Act. I got to come up with a new Clean Up Your Act, for crying out loud. That's next right here in the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. It's a Thursday, getting you to the Friday into your weekend out there. Brady, let's get to Clean up your act. We don't have music for clean up your act, though, do
we? Man, I'll leave that music on for you.
Yes, there you go. Leave that. Let me start off first by saying clean up your act, Los Angeles, with the gas prices and the restaurant prices and the traffic. No wonder I can't wait to get the hell out of here. It is like pure hell. Driving 3.4 miles to see my mom, taking 45 minutes to an hour, is ridiculous. Seriously, Rich, you could ride your bicycle, except for the fact that a car is probably going to clip you and put you in the hospital. So, L.A., you clean up your act.
Sounds charming.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to go with Drake, and when I saw this first story, I thought it meant the college in Iowa, but as it turns out, it's the rapper. Who apparently was using really bad words with Cleveland's Kendrick Perkins, a guy who's got a bit of a temper himself, a history of it. As they traded angry words as the Cavs and Raptors left the court at halftime, Perkins and Drake, who is Toronto's global ambassador and the face of the Raptors fan base, also had words at the end of the game. I guess they had to be separated. I'm thinking to myself, no, isn't Drake, he's in the front row, he's a fan. Isn't he allowed to sort of say whatever he wants?
He's not allowed to threaten him because he was saying, come fight me and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay,
hey,
that
wait
won't
a
work.
He should be like Jack. Jack doesn't threaten anybody. Jack doesn't start any fights. Jack Nicholson doesn't start any fights in the first row of the Laker games. Learn how to be a celebrity, would you please?
Yeah, but we're talking about him. Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
I'm going to clean up your act with me. I have to clean.
Oh, wow.
What? Clean what?
I have to clean up my act. I am so mad at myself. I know better than this. I never talk about my sports teams positively, ever, because I know that the minute I do, bad things happen.
Plus, they all stink.
So, not the Seahawks. Much. They don't stink. I don't talk about, it's just, all right, happy. I don't ever brag about my teams because I know that karma always comes back to bite you. Yesterday, I took one comment to Buster Olney. This is what I said to Buster Olney yesterday. We'll watch the Braves tonight. You pay attention to the Mariners because I've already got Edwin Diaz winning the Cy Young and Mitch Haniger the MVP. You wait and see. So I said I got Edwin Diaz winning the Cy Young. He gives up a game-winning homer last night, and they lose. So
I knew not to
open up my mouth and brag, and I did it anyways.
And Haniger probably went 0-for-5.
No, he's single. So. It doesn't matter, though. They lost the game. Their starter got 16 strikeouts, and they lost the game, and the bullpen blew it. And I had the bullpen. I praised the bullpen with Buster Olney. I'm cleaning up my. I almost don't even want to come back next hour. I'm so mad.
And the best part, being a Mariners fan, it always happens. Like I was saying yesterday, at 2 o'clock in the morning, so you have to stay up half the night to see your team blow it.
Correct. And I've been doing that for my whole life.
Yes.
Oh geez. All right. 1 hour in the books. Brady's going to have a SportsCenter update. We'll come back. We got some stuff on the Giants. Obviously, get ready for some more hockey with the Bruins. And one story I want to get to that I saw. Oh, man, it's hysterical. So we got all that coming up next. You're in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
If you think what Arnie says on the show is irritating, you should hear him during the commercial break. It's the Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. Only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. It's a Thursday, third day of May, right around the corner for Cinco de Mayo. That's your holiday, Brady, is it not?
And it's on a Saturday. Look out.
Oh.
I'm pumped for Cinco de Mayo. I'm going to go out to Beansy's Bus in Burlington.
Nice.
I'm going to go there. I'm going to have the donut hamburger that was featured.
What?
Yeah, it was featured on Man vs. Food. Instead of buns, it's a donut. It's like a crisp donut.
It's called the Michigan. I think it's called the Michigan.
No, it's not. A Michigan is a hot dog.
No, a Michigan is something that Beansy's is famous for, but that's not a Michigan.
A Michigan is some kind of hot dog, isn't it?
I think so. I've been there 100 times and I don't know.
Somebody tell me a Michigan is some form of a hot dog.
Right, it's at Beansy's, sitting there at Battery Park.
Beansy's. Okay, well, let's reset here. Beansy's is the bus that's in Battery Park in Burlington. They sell all kinds of stuff. I know for a fact they've got the hamburgers that have the donut glazed buns.
I believe there are
also Michigans, and I'm telling you, I believe a Michigan is some form of a hot dog.
Okay, you may be right. I thought that was the donut thing, but we'll have somebody go ahead and get us on the Top Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. So that's what you do for Cinco de Mayo? You go downtown, you go to Beansy's bus?
No, you didn't let me finish. Beansy's bus, and then I want to hit up Buffalo Wild Wings and get a Corona Rita, where there's a Corona beer inside of a margarita, and then I want to have a couple more Coronas and maybe a Dos Equis, and I'll be the most interesting man in the world by the end of the night.
Look at you go.
There you go. It's blowing up now. Michigan is a hot dog with a meat sauce.
Thank you.
Michigan is a hot dog on a bun with Michigan sauce on top of it. And Mojo.
Okay, I stand corrected. Yeah,
Don't you love it, though, when we don't know something and you tell people that do know the answer? It absolutely explodes. Here we go. Mojo and Milton. Hey, Michigan is a hot dog with a ground beef mixture over the top of it.
It's pretty much
like
a chili
Taco
dog.
Bell on that. Yeah, I like that.
So I was right. Don't tell me I don't know my food. When it comes to hot dogs and burgers, I know.
You do. Real quick, did you guys see the story about Patrick Beverly's mother?
Yes.
Is that incredible? I don't know if you saw that, Richard. This is so funny. Patrick Beverly plays for the Clippers. His mother, Lisa Beverly, what do you do when your son lives in Los Angeles? You do like anybody else. You go to the Price is Right, right? So she goes to the Price is Right. They call her from the audience to contestants row. Now, I already got a problem with that, but she was wearing a shirt that said NBA Mom with a Clipper logo. I got a big problem with that. I feel like I should go to the game. I should go to the Price is Right that should say, like, NBA Kid or NBA Dad and throw somebody's name out there and see what they do with that. But anyway, she gets on stage with Drew Carey, and you ready for this? Boom! She's rolling the dice, and on the final roll, she wins a car.
Nice.
Yeah. Good for her.
She wins a car. She goes to the Showcase Showdown Big Spiel win. She gets 95 out of a dollar. So she goes She gets a dollar, so she gets a bonus $1,000. And then she goes to the Showcase Showdown. Is this incredible?
Did she win?
Yeah, she won something.
She won the whole thing? Showcase Showdown?
Let's see here. She did. All didn't read that. Well, she won two cars. Yeah, she did. Her haul for the day, she won two cars, a six-night trip to Madagascar, and $1,000 in cash, total value $41,000.
Boy, that sounds much better than your Newlywood game prize of a trip to Micronesia.
Which I never got, and I never got the Rice-A-Roni, and I never got the turtle wax. Got any of that.
That is such a 70s combo. Micronesia, Rice-A-Roni, and turtle wax. Congratulations, Mr. Spanier.
Big. That's big, Rich, Rice-A-Roni. It's the San Francisco treat, for crying out loud.
That's so funny. You never even went on the trip to Micronesia, where I couldn't even tell you where that is.
Is turtle wax still around?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah. That's like the ultimate in waxing your car stuff.
Maybe you could get a gift card from somebody and just go redeem it at any Bond Auto or O'Reilly's Auto or something.
I'll tell you, you ever want to see the biggest collection of crazy yahoos on this planet, Google the Price is Light outside lines. The lines outside trying to get in, because they're all basically auditioning by trying to be as much of a lunatic as possible for the people, because they make those choices. They already know who they're picking when they come in through the door. It's not really that random. They want the craziest people they can
absolutely.
Find.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly. By the way, if anybody of our audience has ever been on a game show, 802-655 6672. I wouldn't know if you ever won anything or ever been on a game show before. I would think it's kind of tough to get on a game show. You know, I obviously went on the Newlywood game and we won, but it's got to be tough to get on game shows regularly, though.
I think so. By the way, first-time texter says Beverly's mom won 20 minutes of his NBA play. That's about right.
Yeah, pretty much on that.
Arnie, I have some bad news. Breaking bad news. Shea Hillenbrand was supposed to join us in 15 minutes, former Red Sox. He is not going to be able to join us today.
No, what happened? What happened?
He's actually sick, so he just he said his voice is gone, and he's incoherent because he's incomprehensible. So
you should have said that's okay. Our one of our co-hosts,
so
his voice is
so are the hosts.
Yeah. We'll try to get Shea Hillenbrand on sometime soon.
Now, do you think there's a chance that maybe when I said 2 weeks ago that Shea Hillenbrand might be the most boring baseball player in history when he was playing, that maybe that trickled down and he's basically said, well, I heard about what that guy said on that show in Vermont.
Were you going to cop to that?
I was going to put it in a different way.
When we talk, because we will talk to Shea Hillenbrand again. We will get him on. Are you going to run from that statement?
I am not going to say, I hear you're the boringest guy ever. What I'm going to say is, I heard that you maybe had sort of a serious side. Do you wish you'd been a little funnier smiled a little more?
Should I play the tape back for him? Since, Arnie, here you go. Since Rich threw me under the bus with Arpin Basu.
Let it go.
Yeah, but should I get back at him now?
Absolutely.
And play the tape back for Shea Hillenbrand?
That's what I would do.
It won't seem that funny when Shea Hillenbrand hangs up before the first question.
No, we'd make it like the last question.
We'll be like, oh, sure enough, he doesn't have a sense of humor even at 50.
We'd make it like the last question.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, hit
him
with that.
By the way, that was my special request, wasn't it, Shea Hillenbrand? If you ever wanted us to get a guest on, Brady will get him on. Just text us, 802 655-6672, anybody.
Yeah, Tom Brady. Get him tomorrow.
That's why we got Dale Murphy on.
Yes.
Not really. He kind of fell in our lap.
You helped get us Dale Murphy. I apologize to Luke in Burlington, because Luke in Burlington sent a really great text earlier and said he loved our guest list and he was really excited for Shea Hillenbrand. So, Luke in Burlington, I am sorry for you. I wanted to hear Shea Hillenbrand too, but I'm very sorry for you.
What does Nick in Plattsburgh says? He
runs Poirier True Value in Plattsburgh, and he says, I will get you your turtle wax, Arnie, on the house.
And that's very nice of you, but wouldn't that mean I'd actually have to start, like, waxing my own car?
And you'd have to go to Plattsburgh.
You're a pro at that, cleaning cars.
That's a lot of work. I'm not good at waxing my car. I can never get it. It's always like stuff is always left on it, and stuff like that. I can never get it good and clean and waxed. So I got to pay for somebody to wax my damn car.
It doesn't matter. You're in your 50s. Who cares what your car looks like?
Actually, isn't that the time where you really start looking like what your car?
I don't know. I had all my
midlife crisis, 40 to 50. Yeah. That's when you want the car to look nice.
I just want my car to start in the morning. That's all I care about. I had my little sports car time in my 20s.
Not a Mustang GT with orange racing stripes.
Wow.
Yeah, I want that.
Nice.
Because I was watching a TV show and some guy had it, like, I want that. Or a yellow Camaro.
Well, you are Arnie Spanier. You should just snap your finger and it happens.
Brady, what do we got this hour? Get to it. What's going on?
Well, remember,
plus, we got this week first.
Mistake of the day. If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. Mistake of the day gets you that 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. Thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. We will work on getting Shea Hillenbrand on at a time when he is healthy. Now we transition to football, though. New York Giants. Landon Collins was speaking the other day, and remember he called Eli Apple a cancer. This is what he said towards the end of last season. And now he's backtracking on that yet again.
Really, it's just a misunderstanding between me and Eli, because at the end of the day, I think people just thought we was actually trying to fight or go at each other. It's really just I was trying to be a big brother for him, but he wasn't allowing all of us to be a big brother for him and be there for him.
So he says that he was trying to be a big brother to Eli Apple, and it was a misunderstanding.
I don't know if he made the media rounds because he was, I think he was pushing his charity basketball, if that's what it was, the 3-on-3, or what. I'm not sure exactly what it is, because I heard him on with my buddies Jonas Knox and Dan Beyer, and boy, it might have been the first of his long interviews out there, because he kind of laughed, and he's like, they asked him, did you wish you never said it? And, he said it was a misunderstanding, and, he was backtracking. I don't believe him at all. I think he meant it when he said it. I think he meant it the way he said it. And, unfortunately for him, it's going to be bought back up because he's pushing his charity basketball. But I believe everything he said the first time around, not the second time around.
What part of this is confusing? There's only just one corner that needs to grow, and we all know who that is. it's pretty black and white there. It's not real complicated.
I think that I'm disappointed in Collins for backtracking like that. If you want to be a big brother to the guy, then hold him accountable. And if he needs to be held accountable, then do it. Now maybe,
but not in the press, Brady.
You are right about that, but it also came out that he tried multiple times in-house to get Apple's attention. So at that rate, then you got to give him a little bit of leeway as a team leader to come out publicly. He did apologize for using the phrase cancer, and I think when it first came out, we all balked at that and said, that one gets us uneasy, much like, Rich, you make the analogy.
The war analogy.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I don't like that either when they say, oh, it was a war out there, or, you know, you got to be prepared for a war. I don't like those analogies either when it comes to athletics. But I liked Collins saying it when he said it. He's the leader of that defense. He's one of the leaders on the team along with Eli Manning. I think he's got every right to do it. If anyone's going to do it publicly, it should be him, and I don't want to see him back down from it.
And at the time, I mean, Apple was a top 10 pick a couple of years in the 2016, and he had just sat through, I think this was postgame after a loss to Arizona. I think it was like 23-0, and they were just not playing well at all. And Apple didn't play a single snap. This is their number one pick. And so a lot of it could be taken out of context in the sense that it was said emotionally after a terrible performance and in a game in which Apple, their number one pick, didn't play a snap.
Oh, you see, you say it's okay, he's the leader, and, you know, he tried to go in-house, he didn't, so it's okay to, you know, hit it publicly. Could you imagine if Tom Brady couldn't get something done in-house? And he went to the media and he said, hey, let me insert player's name here, and said, hey,
Gronk.
That guy's a stinking cancer.
Yeah.
You're right. What do you think we'd be talking about for the next year and a half right. or until
uneven.
His retirement?
Uneven
Jeez.
Comparison. Arnie, he's the quarterback. If Eli Manning said it, it would be a much bigger deal. Also, this is a defensive player. Defensive players are allowed to be more volatile. They're allowed to be more aggressive because that's how they play on the field. We don't care as much as to what defensive players say as quarterbacks. You can't compare Tom Brady to Landon Collins.
They're both football teammates, aren't they? I mean,
and they're both leaders too. So, and I understand what you're saying there. But if any Patriot said, if the third string punter said it, we'd be going, "Wow, look at that! Hey." I mean, we'd be getting all bent out of shape about that. I just thought he was a little out of line there.
Again, uneven comparison. The third string punter is not the star that Landon Collins is. If it was a third string punter, we'd be saying, "What is that guy doing opening up his mouth?" This is the best player on this defense. This is the young leader of this team at 24 years old at a position where leaders have been built up throughout the NFL over the last 10 years, from Troy Polamalu to Ed Reed to Cam Chancellor to Eric Berry. The defensive secondary is where a lot of leaders have emerged in today's NFL. Did that feel good for you?
Oh, it hurt.
Did you make sure to sanitize the microphone?
No, I missed the microphone.
Okay. So defensive leaders have come out of the defensive secondary. I have no problem with Landon Collins saying this publicly. I just wish you hadn't backtracked from it. Hold him accountable.
It's so funny. It's okay for a defensive guy to say it, but if a quarterback says it, another star says it, the third-string punter, a coach, a defensive or offensive coordinator, it's all completely different. I don't know. We want to give him a pass. That's fine. I thought he was completely out of line.
Well, if it was a third-string punter saying it, my first comment would be, what the hell are there three punters on the same team for? But that's just me.
That's probably right. All right, Brady, Bruins down 2-1, so... it looks like it's all or nothing. At least I think it's all or nothing.
It is. They'd better win.
Well, you got to win at home, especially before you go back to Tampa for Game 5. And, Rich, it looks like Bruce Cassidy may be in a position to tinker with his lineup and try to find some new line combinations. Maybe Ryan Donato plays.
Yeah.
But you know what? The offense hasn't really been the issue. It's been the defense and the turnovers that have been the issue. I don't know that it's been the scoring opportunities that have foiled them. It's been everything else.
And the other thing, we talked a lot about it in the first hour, but we didn't bring up the penalties last night, man. And they did it they did it in game two as well. I mean, turnovers have clearly played a big role, but man, you got to stay out of the box. I mean, Marchand with no points last night in 12 penalty minutes, and he just got to control themselves. Backus ran into a dumb penalty. I think a couple of other guys, Torrey Krug had one, and when you're constantly
multiple fights yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, when you're constantly a man down, you just don't have that opportunity. And we certainly saw it in game two, you know, in that 4-minute penalty to Pastrnak. They don't necessarily, as TC said, they don't necessarily score, but you're taking 4 minutes away from your chance to score in a game you're trailing.
Yeah, I'm not big on tinkering with the Lions right now. Not when you're down 2-1 and you've gotten this far. Look, you dance with who brung you. You got this far. You've got to motivate the team. You never know when the next big goal comes from somebody that has not played well at all. I got to continue going with the way I am. I'm not going to shake things up now that I got my back against the wall just a little bit. It's still only 2-1. But if it was 3-1, maybe it's a different story. And if they lose this one and go down 3-1, maybe you'll re-ask the question. I'll give you another answer. But at 2-1 and playing at home, I'm not ready to make wholesale changes.
Tomorrow's Bruins game is their season. It really is. You know, you can't say enough about the importance of that game. You cannot have 2 out of the last 3 games in Tampa and go there down 3-1 for game 5.
Well, and the other thing about this Bruins team is, Rich, I remember you tweeted this out a couple of months ago.
What?
Said the Bruins had 4 lines of hell.
Yes.
And that everyone was playing well. When you look at yesterday, David Backes had 0 shots and spent more time in the penalty box than on the ice.
Yeah.
Danton Heinen had 0 shots yesterday. They're just not getting that kind of productivity up and down. And you started to say, are they getting too dependent on that top line?
Right.
Well, not only now are they dependent on that line, they're getting nothing from anywhere else.
Right, and it's all or nothing now from that top line, too. And last night was another example, although Bergeron did get the goal, so they got something out of the top line. But generally, the losses, you look at the top line, they score between 0 and 1 point combined between the three of them. The wins, it's like 16 or whatever. It's been night and day, and it's completely dependent on who wins the game.
Looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about must-see TV, Rich. I know what you're going to be doing.
I will. Even on a Friday night, I'm going to be glued to that one.
By the way, real quick, did you guys know that there's a 6 o'clock Eastern basketball game?
Yeah, it's LeBron. I was kind of surprised at that.
Yeah, and the Celtics are doing it, I think, in game 3, maybe.
Is there for what? But that's not on a Thursday, though, is it?
No.
Saturday. That's a 5 o'clock start Saturday.
Yeah, that there's weekends, anything goes. Why are they doing that tonight, though? Is there any reason whatsoever? Is there a conflict with the game and they want to keep traffic to a limit? I don't know.
Well, you have two. Where's the 6 o'clock game?
Toronto.
Okay, so you have 2 Eastern time zone games. You don't want to play them at the exact same time for the network.
You want to get a whole day full of basketball.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying why, 3 o'clock, though, you could do 4 and 7 or something. You know, you could.
He's speaking with his West Coast brain right now.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. All right. All right. When we get back, we got some more Red Sox to get into, plus Brady's interaction with greatness. All that coming up next. You're in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
And you thought the ESPN network hosts were opinionated.
Unsupportable opinion.
It's the huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Everybody, you are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. It's a Thursday. Beautiful Thursday here in Southern California. Not so beautiful in Burlington. Third day of May. I should not jump ahead there.
That's Cinco de Mayo. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm ready to do that. Real quick, because, as you heard, as we were coming back, they said, you think ESPN hosts are opinionated? Speaking about opinionated, I just want to ask you real quick on off topic. What did you think about what Charles Barkley said about Draymond Green saying he wanted to punch him in the face?
Yeah.
And then apologize for
funny.
That.
Did, come on. Really? We're so sensitive.
What did you think, Brady?
I don't think it's appropriate,
no.
but
it's just silly.
Yeah, I don't think it's appropriate, but I didn't actually think he was going to do it.
No, but, I mean, look, you pay him to be entertaining. I mean, if you want, look, Charles Barkley can say, if you ask him who's going to win between two teams, he could be very monotone and go, I think Team A has a better offense, Team D has a better defense, whatever, and his mind. You don't want that. You need to have some dramatics. You need to have some entertainment value. Yeah. So I just thought that was funny.
And I think relatability is so important with these people, and I find a lot of that stuff that's so real. I mean, how many times in your life, especially you, Arnie, have you been told, I'm going to punch you in the face? Is it daily?
Oh, my, if I had a dollar for every time somebody said that, I'd have my own island. Maybe 2 by now. That's for damn sure.
I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to beat the Toronto Raptors, and LeBron James going to have 40 points.
And punch somebody in the face.
I want to punch Draymond Green upside his head.
You also sound like the shrimp boat guy in Forrest Gump.
You do. What's going on with Hanley Ramirez? What's happening with the Red Sox?
Well, just a great story in The Athletic today about Hanley and about kind of the impact he's had on the clubhouse. And it's really surprising, given what Tom Caron told us earlier in the offseason, told us in spring training, that Hanley, when he's going well, is great. And when he's not going well, he's just a real sulker. He's kind of a moody guy. But now he's playing well. He's hitting 311, so maybe that leads into it. But he has appeared to have assumed a big leadership role on this team, kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, and he's fun. I mean, man, the guy's a goof. And I think a lot of it has to do, as you said, that he's hitting 311. I don't know if he'll get his 30-30 that he proclaimed preseason, but he's certainly taking a shot at it. The fact that he has any stolen bases is amazing. He used to steal 30 all the time. I think it's crucial to have somebody like this. Because if you're looking at guys that have been around for a while, like a Dustin Pedroia, that's not him. That's not his personality. But Hanley's out there being a goof all the time and playing jokes on everybody and keeping everything light. And the fact that he's hitting, I'm sure, as you said, is helping.
Do you think it's an act, Arnie, to keep his roster spot? Because, look, he's got a vesting option at the end of the year. So, basically, if he gets to 600 plate appearances or something, his contract is guaranteed for next season. Do you think if he plays the good soldier and stays in the lineup, then he gets a chance to get $22 million there?
Yeah. I don't think I'd want him to get to that, to be honest with you. 34 years old, and you know, I know that some of the players are getting better with age, but I'm not so sure I want to find out for $22 million, to be honest with you. Who was the Hall of Fame? Was it third baseman? I can't remember. That was getting better with age, just hitting home runs like crazy. Just retired, I think, like a year or two ago, Brady. Does that help?
Chipper Jones?
No. It will come to me. I played for the Angels. I think his last stop, Texas Rangers.
A Hall of Famer who played for the Rangers and Angels.
It will come to me. A lot of home runs. I was just going to say, kind of reminds me of him because, you know, they're getting better with age. You see what's going on with Bartolo Colon, but I'm not going to find out for $22 million. That I'm just not going to do.
You know, it's also, I was talking about this yesterday in Champlain Valley game night. I will say this Red Sox team seems a lot more likable this year.
Absolutely.
And it's not, I think Alex Cora is part of it. He's just more accessible, more easygoing than John Farrell. That's part of it. But when you look last year at the David Price drama, Dustin Pedroia, the Manny Machado stuff, it's not me, it's them, and then John Farrell's general kind of surliness, this team didn't have very many redeeming qualities last year. Even though they were playing well, I didn't find them easy to root for. This team seems to have a lot of fun, and they have a lot of great personality. This team's fun.
I'll tell you who the craziest of them all is, and I love him for it, is Joe Kelly.
Don't do that.
No.
You were cursing Joe Kelly.
Yes, right.
He blew game one.
You wanted him cut and banished from the organization.
I did. Don't do that now.
Right?
I did. I wanted him off the team, but he's a lovable little guy. I mean, he was out serving a suspension, and he's sitting in the crowd taking selfies with the fans. And he's interviewing people on the field with looking like he's in some sort of a mask and long gray hair, like he's 75 years old. And everyone in the Red Sox is kind of creeping out. Who is this reporter running around on the field?
Arnie, number one, as the Town Fair Tire text line is telling you.
I see. It's shame on you, Brady.
No, shame on you.
No, shame on you.
What are you talking about? It's Adrian Beltre, and number one,
Former Mariner.
Number one, he's not retired. You said retired a few years ago.
He was 39. I thought he was retired.
Oh, that kills it.
He's playing now. And number two, he still plays for Texas, and he never played for the Angels.
And don't touch the top of his head.
He never played. He played for the Dodgers, the Mariners, the Red Sox, and the Rangers.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got that part right.
No, Arnie,
you still should have guessed it.
You did not lead us down the correct road.
No, I did not. But I thought Brady could have figured it out.
But you got a number of mistakes of the day qualifiers right there.
But that was my point. I was going to kind of compare him a little bit to Adrian Beltre. Do you think he's got that run where between 34 and 39 to keep something like this going? But like I said, I'm not going to find out for $22 million.
No, because Beltre has premium gold glove level defense, and Hanley has not had that for a very long time.
Question, you guys. Do you think Alex Cora and Hanley Ramirez perhaps preseason talk about the at-bat $22 million clause?
No. I don't think they talk about it. Not together. I think Cora was very much on the record about it. He said if he plays well, he's going to play.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, if he plays well and then caveat stays healthy, then he's going to play.
It just seems like one of those things that they should clear the air because it could potentially get ugly in the middle of a pennant race. You know what I mean?
Brady, that's going to take like 140 games to reach 600 at-bats, is it not?
And he's not always healthy.
It's 500 at-bats.
Okay, because I was going to say, including does that include walks, isn't it, Pat?
No. Well,
no, it's plate appearances. Yeah.
Okay, so it does.
Okay,
then.
Okay, so it does. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it better, because otherwise he's just going to swing at everything.
Four.
I know it was a foot outside, but I want the at bat.
Yes.
497 plate appearances. So basically that.
Well, that's doable.
He's on his way.
Yes, that is doable.
Games. Much do. That's 100 games.
John Henry's sitting there going, oh, come on, just tweak that shoulder or something, just for one DL stint.
That's 100 games. If you get 5 at-bats a game, you got 100 games. That's more than doable.
You're going to get 3.5 at-bats a game, not 5.
I know they hit a lot, but 5 is stretching it.
Is that too much? So,
For average, it is. Yeah, that's...
Okay, 4. Now you're cutting it close here.
Yep.
So,
well, he's on his way.
But, yeah, it's just amazing that he's been not only a resurgence on the field, but his resurgence in the clubhouse. And that leads me into the next question. So I was talking about this on Champlain Valley Game Night 2. I said, now there was a lengthy story about Dustin Pedroia's rehab, and he's down in Fort Myers right now. And I said I loved one of the anecdotes was that of all the 19- and 20-year-old kids that are there at Fort Myers at the Red Sox complex, Pedroia was apparently being very helpful with them, answering all questions, working on technique with young players, guys that were just drafted. And that's not the way I think of Pedroia. I think of him as feisty competitor, not overly helpful.
Stick in the mud.
So I wondered about, I said, okay, I really like that story, and I hope he brings that attitude with him to Boston because this is a fun team. I don't want to see his surliness weigh it down. And Mike Cameron, former MLB All-Star, he responded back and he said, brother, I don't see any way that Dustin Pedroia doesn't make that team a lot better. Basically, he's going to make this team much better. And I think if he comes in with the attitude that he reportedly has down on the farm in Fort Myers, then this team is even more off and running. But if he comes in and acts the way I think that he acts a lot of his previous career, then I think that's a detraction.
Yeah, Mike Cameron is a fob. A friend of Brady.
On Twitter.
Wow.
Hey, look at you, big man.
He's got a fob.
He's a friend of mine on Twitter.
I was very upset with Pedroia last year when he was kind of, you know, I felt like he was backstabbing his own teammates.
The
in
Machado.
And that whole thing. Yeah, like you mentioned, Rich, in the Machado thing. And, you know, say, what do you want from me? I'm not throwing at you. You know, just, I don't even want to get back to that last year. I was really turned off by that. I'm like, that was absolutely uncalled for. So, if he doesn't have that attitude, fine. I just think his best years are so far behind them. I don't know how he's going to make this team so much better, to be honest with you.
I don't know that his best years are behind. Well, okay, I think his best years are behind him. He's not. Sure. I don't see him winning the batting title, and I don't see him winning the MVP. So, yes, I would say his best years are behind him. But with this procedure, I need him to be able to play. I need him to be able to play second base 135 times a year for the next 4 years. Now, Arnie, you and I are on the same page. We don't love his big contract. And he's got a big contract. I want to say it's like $65 million remaining or something like that over 4 years. You're probably not getting rid of that contract, even if you wanted to. So the best thing I can hope for is that he's basically got an entire new knee, and he can give me 130 games a year for the next 4 years, and he can play well. I think he can still be productive.
I have a question. I should know this, but I don't. Is he getting at-bats now down in the minor leagues? I mean, how many?
He is not at the rehab spot, at the team rehab spot yet. He's doing, you know, the simulated stuff where he's getting, you know, 6 at-bats where he leads off every inning, et cetera.
Yeah,
so he's not played an official game or anything like that?
No, they've had him doing all kinds of combinations of things that are, you know, simulating game activities. Whatever that means.
Where is he going to go to, what, Pawtucket or something? Where will he go?
I mean, Portland, Pawtucket, one of the
other. Or he might just go to
Salem or Greenville.
Don't they have a high A team in Florida? Don't they have an A team in Florida?
Yeah, everybody does, pretty much.
Yeah, so probably go there for a little while, nearish to the Red Sox complex, and then start making his way north.
I think it's the Fort Myers Miracle.
Okay.
I think. Let me check
That's right, the Miracle. That's the one where I lost out to the blind guy doing the play-by-play.
What?
Yeah, I went for a play-by-play job, and they gave it to the blind guy. But they were the Miami Miracle, I think.
I'll say it again.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, weren't they owned by the – wasn't that a White Sox affiliation? Weren't they with the White Sox?
I don't know anything about the Fort Myers or Miami Miracle.
Yeah. Okay. You lost out a play-by-play to a blind guy. And you're going to say, Rich, he's told this story 18 times.
No, they just – I tried out for a job, and they're like, you know, we're going to give it to – I don't know the guy's name. Maybe it was Rich. And I go, but Rich is blind. I go, they go, well, that, you know, man, that's part of the charm, I guess. I don't know. And, you know, like, he would have somebody next to him, and if the ball got hit the right center, he goes, the ball was hit the right center. He goes, it's in the alley at right center. I mean, it was unbelievable. People were like, how do you know where it is? I go, somebody's telling him. How else are you going to know where it is?
Good Vin Scully sitting next to him.
Unbelievable. Celtics Sixers, we'll get into that. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go Lakers. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. It's really sort of an addiction. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, just flying by on this Thursday, third day of May. Celtics, though, 76ers, game two. Celtics win this one. Boy, you want to talk about sitting pretty. They're just, as you mentioned earlier, pretty about, 75% chance of winning this thing. What a monster game this one's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. Yeah, it's a 77% chance of winning the series if they win game two. If they lose this and walk out of game two with a split, then it's only a 43% chance of them winning the series. So this is a big game. We still don't know about Jaylen Brown. And, Rich, one of the things, and I talked about this earlier in the week too, but I continue to read more about it. I just continue to have praise for Brad Stevens. And we said on Monday that we thought he was the X factor in this series. And you talk about all that he has done. And, Arnie, it's all about putting players in positions to be successful, and he seems to find that better than anybody I could have imagined.
Incredible, I mean, is the word. He is perhaps, I wanted to say, remember I said it was the most underrated coach. He may be the best coach in the NBA. I would love my Arizona Wildcats to hire him and bring him back to the college. Obviously, yeah, he's never going to leave, but wow. I'm wondering if he's going to be a Boston Celtic coach for the rest of his life or where he's going to end up. But he is just tremendously underrated. I don't think people realize the great job he has done this year with the Boston Celtics.
And it's so funny because all they've done since he arrived is win more games than the year before. And it's funny because he doesn't – you don't see it. He's not a rah-rah guy. In fact, sometimes I just want him to scream at the refs. He's like the anti-Heinsohn, you know. And you just – so you don't really see – the greatness of him in the sense where he's out there and yelling and firing up his team. But as you said, there's just a lot of little things that he does. He wins most of the chess matches, and that's the kind of thing that wins you some games.
Well, we talk about the chess matches. We talk about getting Marcus Smart on Ben Simmons a lot. I think Ben Simmons was 0-for-7 or something like that on plays where Smart was the official defender on him. You talk about offensively, they just wore out Marco Bellinelli when he was on defense. I mean, when Bellinelli was on defense, they scored at an absurd rate. He played 28 minutes, and the Celtics scored ungodly numbers with Bellinelli. They got him in pick and roll. They got Horford in pick and roll as well. They got guys freed up, and, you know, Terry Rozier getting freed up. They just kudos. You can't say more about it other than that.
Hell, Shane Larkin was effective against him.
Yes.
Everybody.
He has done such a great job with so little. I'm wondering what he could do with other teams. What would he do with the Lakers? What would he do with the Knicks? I just so impressed with this guy. And yet nobody really just, like, brings up his praises. You don't see, like, stories about him on SportsCenter or a talk show host, you know, talking about him one way or the other, because he's not flamboyant, he's not flashy, he's not
putting it
one way or the other. You know what I'm saying? You don't get that bulletin board material. I mean, you get more bulletin board material from some of the coaches in 5 minutes than you'll get in 5 years with this guy.
Yeah, you listen to his interviews, it's like, Brad, say something. You know, he must drive that Boston media crazy, because you know how what a bunch of hound dogs they are when it comes to, you know, give us something juicy so we can lead, you know, lead with it. He never does. He's so measured with everything he says to the media, but it seems to work.
Seems to work. But
Arnie, your Knicks just hired David Fizdale of the former.
Oh, I love that.
Take that for data.
Oh, I love that. You're talking about the old Memphis coach.
Yeah,
right?
So that's the Knicks' new coach.
By the way,
you like that?
The reason I do like that, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know Fizdale's philosophy than the next coaches, but so many of his past players and other coaches love this guy. Brady, I can't have you even begin to find tweets of when this guy got fired, you know, people tweeting out. I think LeBron said, like, that's the dumbest thing ever. People just absolutely love him. I'm pretty sure it was like a swell of tweets about from athletes and other coaches that were just disgusted that this was happening.
Yeah, look, coaches are oftentimes popular, and coaches from afar, or players from afar, rather, generally do have nice things to say. I saw yesterday the Suns hired their coach and a guy who had been the coach of the Slovenian national team, and there was Goran Dragic of the Heat, who had played for him, I believe, in some European championships, weighing in on it from afar. So players love to get in on other teams' coaching drama.
Yeah, by the way, Glennon Moncton, the real test comes in Philly. The Celtics haven't won on the road yet, Glennon Moncton. That's a big point there. The series doesn't start till somebody loses on the road. Yeah, you gotta learn how to win on the road.
And how about Joel Embiid? He was asked, you know, how about the Boston crowds? He goes, oh, Philadelphia's are louder. how do you think that's going to be when he's standing at that free throw line at the Garden tonight?
And the Sixers are bringing Meek Mill with them today.
Yes. What's the story behind that? Obviously, he's out of jail.
Yeah, I don't know. They're bringing Meek Mill with them. He's their newest ambassador.
Okay, because I didn't know if that was his favorite team.
Oh, yes. Well, yes, he's from Philadelphia. He loves all the teams.
So there, I didn't know the connection there. So, interesting that he got out because of a guy from Boston. Well, I was going to say with the help of Robert Kraft, though. I don't know how much that helped. That is interesting. Robert Kraft went to him. I went to visit him, and the next thing you know, like a week later, he's out of prison. Isn't that kind of crazy or what?
Well, like Dennis Rodman in North Korea.
I mean, and Robert Kraft, the Philadelphia already got a title from Boston. Did Robert Kraft really have to go and give Philadelphia anything more? Exactly. Boom!
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, we're going to come back. Last story standing on this quick Thursday. We'll finish it up. You're in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Go AutoZone! Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, guys, let's start with the mistake of the day. We'll give that to Jake in Williston, who caught my Adrian Beltre gaffe. Okay, he didn't play for the Angels, by the way. The mistake of the day is brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joanne's Uniform in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and, of course, vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. So Jake in Williston is a qualifier for that hat. So I want to thank him for that. Brady Glass, story standing, what'd you find?
A former high school baseball player is suing his coach over telling him to slide.
Wow.
So
I love this.
A high school baseball player was trying to leg out a triple.
Yeah.
He slid. He hurt his ankle, needed surgery, and now he is suing his head coach, his manager, for telling him to slide.
Did he have to slide to be safe or what?
Yeah, what's the scenario?
It was a bang-bang play, the coach said.
Okay.
It was going to be a bang-bang play.
And even if the coach tells you to slide, if it's not a close, you don't sue him. What's this? He's a freshman? Does that make him 14 and he's suing his coach?
It's ridiculous.
What happens when I'm suing my coach? He told me to intentionally foul at the end of the game because we're down by one and I hurt myself or something. That's going to be next, right? Or what?
I used to foul people at the end of the game just to get in the scorebook.
Yes.
True story.
Oh, jeez.
It's ridiculous.
I fouled.
I had one last story standing also. I don't know if you saw this one, Rich, but a North Carolina man who hit a lottery scratch-off last year for $100,000. Of course, what do you do when you hit the lottery? You take flying lessons. He was taking flying lessons this morning. The helicopter he was learning to fly got the tail rotor caught in a tree branch. The helicopter comes crashing, goes up in a fireball. Guess who comes crawling out untouched and unscathed?
Mr. $100,000 man.
Mr. $100,000 guy.
Wow.
And by the way, that's the second time that's happened. There was a guy that won $1 million, bought a lottery ticket before he boarded an airplane. That airplane crashed. There was some survivors. He was one of them. And that lottery ticket he bought was worth $1 million. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah, a little good luck, it never hurts, that's for sure.
Arnie, when are you coming back, by the way? We're actually starting to miss you.
I will be back September, I think. No, I'm just kidding. I will do Monday, Tuesday from L.A., and I will be flying back Wednesday. So
the cheap day. Good call. Flying on the cheap.
Yes. All right. So there you go. Brady, what's coming up at Champaign Valley game night tonight?
Well, we'll talk with Bob Black. He's the voice of Richmond University football, about the new Giants backup quarterback, Kyle LaLetta.
I think I'm going to make you stay for the full show today.
Wow. You're not making me do anything.
Are you staying for the full show?
Yep.
Not the boss of
all us. Right, then. I am making you stay for the full show. For Brady, for Rich, I'm Artie. Champaign Valley game night coming up next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.